when you move the line, when you shift the boundaries, the battle shifts. Nothing else is accomplished.
Do you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking again today on the subject of child training with my friend Shelley Russell, mother of a one-year-old. Shelley, what's your question today?
Well, I would like to discuss spanking a little bit more in detail. When I hear the word spanking, it just makes me hurt inside to know that I love this little girl so much and that I would actually spank her.
Physically assault her. Is that what it seems like to you?
Yes, yes. And the other thing is that we've heard so much about child abuse today and people getting so angry that they abuse their child, or families and people that have been accused of child abuse who have not abused their child but have just spanked their child to raise them correctly.
You were the victim of child abuse yourself, right?
Right.
When you were growing up. So you have very powerful emotional reactions to the whole idea of any kind of physical punishment, right?
Right.
Well, this may sound paradoxical, and I guess in a sense it is, but I really do believe that one of the primary reasons for child abuse is the failure to discipline, and I mean by discipline, that has got to include spanking. Now, I want again to try to calm my listeners' fears, because I've talked about this subject many times before. When I say spanking, I'm not talking about abuse. There is a world of difference between a controlled measure of pain inflicted on a little child by a mother or father who is totally calm and totally in control of himself or herself. The reason that so many parents get so angry and out of control is because they haven't started to train the child at the beginning. And by the time you've had to scream at your child five times, put that down, come here, don't do that, you're angry, right?
Right.
By that time, your ire is up and your temperature is rising so that you can't deal with the child except in an abusive way. Even if it's not a physically abusive way, you're going to be screaming at that child. And a woman came to me and she told me, I discovered, because my children told me, that I was screaming at them practically all the time. She said, I realized that I had grown up in a house where everybody screamed at everybody. And she said, I didn't even know I was doing it. And it wasn't until my children were about 8 or 9 years old that they began to say, Mom, you scream at us all the time. And she said, I began to try to listen to myself. Okay, let's take your little child, Julia. You go to a friend's house, and your friend has all sorts of nice little knickknacks around that Julia's never seen before. She wants to touch him. What are you going to do with her?
Well, I would probably say no. And then if she went to touch it again, I would probably say no again. And I would continue to say no because I wouldn't want my friend to think that I was harsh with my daughter by saying no once and then spanking her.
And what happens to the conversation with your friend that you went to see while you're saying no to Julia five times? Conversation just falls apart, doesn't it?
Exactly.
I couldn't tell you how many times I've been in situations where the purpose of the visit was adult conversation, but there was a child that completely disintegrated all possibility of adult exchange. Obviously, when you go to your friend's house, that is not the place to start with disciplining Julia. As we were saying the other day, You need not to childproof your house, but to have certain things that Julia must not touch. One of the things my mother observed was that children are very often much happier with the measuring cups and the pots and pans in the kitchen than they are in expensive toys. Now, I grew up in the Depression. My parents didn't have the money to buy expensive toys. There were six children in the family. We played with maybe one or two dolls, one or two cars, and the rest of the time we played with pots and pans and sieves, and my mother would let us use the metal colander or the sieve or the measuring cups to play with, and we had to learn to put them back. And those were not no-nos. They were without permission, and one of the things that Julia needs to learn is, may I? Now, she's not talking yet, is she? Does she say anything at all?
Dead end, mama.
Okay, but you need to start training her at home, and that brings up the question that you've already raised, the question of spanking. By spanking, you are giving the child a message that the child understands. You cannot reason with an 8-month-old crawling baby, but the child understands the word no. They understand that word long before you think they do. I think they understand it when they're in their crib, maybe about 2 months, maybe a month. When they're screaming in the crib, you can pat them and tell them you love them and say, now it is time to go to sleep and I want you to be quiet. Now, of course, they don't understand those words, but they understand the calm, loving tone of your voice. And it's extremely important that you get Julia's attention, you look her straight in the eye, and you call her by name. And when she touches the thing that she's not to touch, you say, Julia, no. And if she persists in touching it, then I think it's time to administer a spanking. That doesn't mean a beating, and I would never use the word hit. Don't ever slap your child in the face. Don't ever use your hand for punishment, because I think your hand should be an instrument of love and tenderness and stroking. But it is a good thing to have a small switch, just a little branch off the bush in the backyard, or maybe a paint stick. And you take the child's little bare legs and you whack those little bare legs, or you take the little tiny hand and you whack the palm of the hand, not the back of the hand, the bones on the back of the hand are more delicate. But it doesn't take much of a swat with a paint stirrer or with a little switch to make a little child cry. You don't want to inflict real harm, of course, and you won't if you're still under control. If you give the command 5 times, what's the message you're giving Julia?
That she can do it, and I will just continue to say no, that I'm really not going to do anything to alter her actions.
What are you telling her about the first 5 times?
That she can do it 5 times.
That they don't have to pay attention. That
right.
You don't mean what you say. You are training that child not to pay attention.
You know, last night I was at a friend's and we were discussing spankings, and my girlfriend, who she's a wonderful mother and she loves being a mother, really hates to use the word punishment or discipline. She prefers to use teach and train. And so we were discussing spankings and how to discipline our children. They're both 1 year old. And she said that she believes that you just continue to say no. And her little son loves to climb up on chairs and then on the table and just to say no. And she says that some days she says no 70 times, but that she believes, as she continues to say no, that one day it will click that he is not supposed to do that. And that instead of spanking him, she actually will distract him with something else, but distract him each time he does it.
But he's not getting the lesson. He is not getting the message when she's distracting him. All she's doing is taking his attention off the thing that he wants. How many adults are there going around in the world today who have never learned to say no to themselves because nobody has ever said no to them? Anytime their parents wanted to get their attention away from the thing that they wanted, they gave them something else which was equally or even more interesting. That is not a way of getting across the message. There are things in this world you may not do. There are things in this world you may not have. And this is a family, this is our home, and we have to live together. I can't do everything I want to do when I want to do it. Daddy can't do everything Daddy wants to do when Daddy wants to do it. We have to give and take. We have to say no to ourselves. And in order to teach the child to say no to herself, you are going to have to say no to the child, just the way the Lord did. The Lord, in His mercy, gives us commands and shows us where the lines are drawn. My father always said, wherever the line is drawn is where the battle will be drawn up with the child. When you move the line, when you shift the boundaries, the battle shifts. Nothing else is accomplished. Why would the mother put herself through saying no 70 times when you only have to say it once and give a little tiny spanking and the child has got the message?
It makes so much sense when you're talking about it, but I just think we want to be such good parents, and we're so afraid of being harsh, and yet it makes so much sense because I think our culture is saying not to say no to ourselves, and that really we're teaching them godly principles, and we don't want to teach them like the rest of the world is living, but we want our children to grow up to live differently.
Thank you, Shelley Russell, and we'll be back with Shelley again with some more questions.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.